We looked at Isaiah and Jeremiah already, which kind of fit along the way, but those aren't minor prophets, and I'll explain as we go where they fit. So we started with Joel, which is the oldest of the minor prophets, around 830 B.C. Then we looked at Amos and Jonah, which were both around 760 B.C., and then Hosea, 760 to around 720 B.C., and tonight we start Micah, which was about 735 B.C. So Micah and Hosea were about the same time, but Hosea was a longer period of time. And Micah and Hosea were both about the same as Isaiah as far as when they were given. Isaiah was around 740 to 680, so that was 60 years of Isaiah. But tonight we look at Micah, which again was around 735 B.C., and we'll work our way all the way up to Malachi, which was about 400 B.C. And then we have what's called the 400 silent years. So the book of Micah is a book about judgment again. Surprise, surprise. primarily, though, on Samaria and then on Judah. But also we have some great promises embedded in this judgment about the coming glory and about the coming Messiah and God encouraging again his people to repent. So we're starting to see a very common theme in the minor prophets. God kept sending these prophets to Israel at different points along the way for these 400 years saying, please come back. And Micah is very similar in that way. So we're looking at chapter 1 tonight. We'll just look at the first 7 verses of Micah. And and then we'll see what it has to say. So the word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moathite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all ye people. Hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten unto him, and the valleys shall be cleft, as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria as an heap of the field and as plantings of a vineyard. And I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with the fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathered of it of the hire of an harlot, and they shall return to the hire of an harlot. So as God said there in verse 2, be witness against you, God himself being a witness. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd use your word tonight to speak to our hearts, Lord, to work miracles in our lives and just to grow us as we continue walking through these admonitions to your children. May we learn from them. So we give you this time and pray you'll be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't share the key verse. Let's turn there quickly, Micah 6:8. If you want a memory verse from the book of Micah, this is the one. And that says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So again, God saying, this is what I want, that people would walk with me and be right with me. So here in our passage, he says there in verse 2, hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is. So God starts off his prophecy through Micah by saying, please listen to what I have to say through my prophet Micah. It's very important that you listen. And Jeremiah said the same thing in chapter 22. He says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And God says the same to the world today, doesn't he? Just listen to my word. Listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ and find salvation. And so he says for them, for the whole world to hear, but also to hearken. And this is where most of the world falls short, isn't it? Is they're not willing to not only listen to the word, but to actually understand the word and respond to the word. If you go to Matthew 13, Jesus explained this about Israel, that they didn't want to understand what they were hearing, even while they were spoken by Jesus himself. Matthew 13, look at verse 13. And how sad that it's still true today, even more so. So Matthew 13, 13. He says, therefore speak unto them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. These words were spoken by our Savior 2,000 years ago. How true they are today, that people just won't listen to what their Creator has to say to them and respond by understanding the truth of the gospel and trusting Jesus Christ. And so God is saying, hearken, O earth, and everybody in the whole earth, listen to what I have to say. I'm sending my prophets. They're going to write it down. This is so important that you listen. And Jesus came and people didn't want to listen. But he told them there in John 12, didn't he? He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, so it always comes down to the word, hath one that judgeth him the word that I've spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. So hear and hearken. And back to our passage, Micah 1, 2, let the Lord God be witness against you. Let the Lord God be witness against you. God witnesses against us that we are sinners. He declares us to be so, does he not? And those of us that are believers, we believe and understand that everybody's a sinner. But why do we know this to be true? Because we look around? No, because God told us so. God is a witness to man by saying, you're all sinners. And Romans 7:12 is an example. Let's turn there. But God declares this to be so. He is the witness against us that we are sinners. Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. So the word of God is holy and good, but it declares us wicked. Go to Galatians 3:22 and we'll see this. And this is what God means when he says, let the Lord God be witnessed against you. Listen to his witness against us, which is him declaring us to be wicked and sinners. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded, all under sin. Who? The scripture hath concluded all under sin. So God is a witness against man because God knows man. God created man and God sees everything. And that's in Hebrews 4, if you'll turn there quickly. Most of us know verse 12, if not by memory, at least we know the verse about the word of God being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But I want us to move from that into verse 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. God knows everything. And God is a witness against man that we are wicked, that we deserve to go to hell. The wages of sin is death. Which, carrying on further, that's why it's so important that we therefore be witnesses to the lost. That we carry on that witness from our Creator to us through his word, which we've responded to, and that we pass that on through the gospel and say to the world, your Creator has declared you a sinner. And you will pay the consequences of that sin if you don't accept His gift of salvation. So we need to be those witnesses as well. But the Lord says, I'm speaking to you, back to our passage, I'm being a witness against you from my holy temple. So God is saying that He is speaking from His holy temple through man, through His prophets. This is how God chose to speak to us. He could have chosen other ways, right? He could have written into the sky. He could have dropped the book down out of heaven. God can do whatever He wants as a creator. But no, instead He said, I'm going to witness to man through man. He did it through the Word, and He does it through the gospel, doesn't He? That we get witnessed to from our Creator by man. That's why the Bible says, like we saw this morning, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're the go-between. We're the intermediary between God and man. He speaks to man through man, just like He blesses man through man. But He says, I'm speaking to you from my holy temple, reminding us that it's not just any temple, but it's a holy temple. That He's holy. And really, like we talked about when we studied the doctrines of salvation, God's holiness is what demands the need for a Savior, isn't it? Because He is holy, therefore nothing unholy can be allowed in His presence, which means we can't go to heaven without some help. Amen? And that's where salvation comes in. God declares us just through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaiah 57:15, quickly turn there. God, in His full essence, is speaking from His holy temple through, in this case, Micah, but He did it through His other prophets as well. As we read in 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God spake through man to write His word, and God speaks through man to get the gospel to the lost. But remember where God lives, Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The high and holy place. The high and lofty one. God says, I'm speaking to you from my holy temple. And as we know, the scriptures say that only God is holy. Intrinsically holy. So the Lord says, I'm crying out to the whole world. I want everybody, the whole earth, to listen to what I have to say. That I am a witness against man through man. And that I'm speaking to you from my holy temple. And then in verse 4, and it says, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft. He says, judgment is coming. Now, we all know what he's speaking about here, don't we? This is when he actually returns to the earth. Go to Zechariah 14:4, and actually changes the earth, physically changes the earth, where he changes the valleys, changes the mountains. Zechariah 14:4. And that's just a precursor to the final judgment upon earth, which we know is coming as well after the kingdom, where God actually burns it all up and starts again. So notice Zechariah 14:4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. This is Jesus Christ returning to the earth. Most people believe the Mount of Olives is also Mount Calvary. So God is going to return, change the earth. We have the kingdom, and then the final melting, if you will, of the earth takes place in 2 Peter chapter 3. So let's turn there quickly. But ultimately what God is saying is that he wants the whole earth to know that he is a witness against man, that man is wicked and that God is holy, and that that demands salvation. This is the basic message, isn't it? is that God wants us to come back to Him. He created us for fellowship. We lost that through the fall of mankind, but God has now restored it through Calvary and offers to be reconciled to us. But that reconciliation is only available through our Savior Jesus Christ. So the mountains shall be molten. 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God said He would never destroy the earth with another flood. But He didn't say He wouldn't destroy it with fire. The first time was with water. The second time was with fire. If you're born again, you don't need to be concerned about it. Amen? You'll be in heaven with the Lord. Hallelujah. But judgment is coming. And as with the other minor prophets that we've seen, God is now warning His people yet again, judgment is coming. It's all about the sinfulness of man and the love of God. You know, He could have just said, that's it. Man is gone. Just let them all go to hell. But His love wouldn't allow that, would it? His love motivated Him to actually pay the price for our sin that we could not pay ourselves. So back to our passage, verse 7, and all the graven images shall be beaten to pieces. The idols all laid desolate. Judgment is coming. You know, we're 2,000 years on the other side of Jesus Christ, and yet still the majority of the world worships idols. Isn't that amazing? Worships false gods. I mean, you would think we would figure this out, wouldn't we? But no. The majority of the world still worships false gods after all this time. And so Hebrews 9:27 tells us that judgment is coming. And God is saying to Israel, judgment is coming, giving them an opportunity to repent, being a witness against mankind through God's own chosen prophets, in this case Micah, and saying, please, repent of your wickedness. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every single human being will face a judgment of some sort. Thankfully, Christians will face the judgment seat of Christ, but everyone else will face the great white throne judgment. Either way, we will all face a judgment. And that's the basic message of Micah, as you will see as we walk through it, that God declares judgment upon man, specifically Israel in this case, and that the Messiah is coming, therefore we need to repent. So God says, let me be a witness against you. And those of us that are born again, we've heard that witness, amen? We've heard God say through the gospel of Jesus Christ, my Creator has declared me wicked. He's holy, I'm not. But He also loved me enough to pay the price for my judgment of that sin and become a man and die Himself in my place. No greater story. So God says, let me be witness against you. Let's pray.